game over. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review, and the early markets for next weekend with Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
And filling in for Cusey today, it's a JT after a long weekend of football round 12. A few blowouts, but a couple of very interesting results. Couple of upsets to go through the winners and the losers. Adam White with me. How are you, Whitey?
I'm good, thank you, John.
Interesting round 12. Let's go through the winners firstly. Adam, Port Adelaide.
Yeah, well, look, I think Port Adelaide was the biggest winner of the weekend in my view. To beat the reigning premiers is obviously a key to all of that. But it was also the fact now that it's the second time in about a month where they've had the big stage. So they had the showdown and then the game against Richmond where they really had to prove that they had a bit of spine to them and a bit of mongrel about them and to be able to perform on the big stage. There's a few clubs that aren't quite doing that at the moment, but Port Adelaide proved that it is improving in that area.
Mm.
And if you look at them now, they're 7-4, which puts them in eighth position on the ladder. They've already had their bye. So really, they've got a great opportunity on Thursday night against the Bulldogs to go 8-4. But when you look at their next five matches, the Bulldogs this week, then they've got Melbourne also at home, and then Carlton away, St Kilda at home, and then Fremantle away. So they will start favourite in maybe all of those games, or certainly four of five.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great opportunity now to really set up their season. And if they'd kick one more goal against Hawthorn, and I know it's an if, there would have been 8-3 and a chance to go 9-3 this week. So I think that they are a team that is now capable of winning the premiership. I'm not saying they will, but I think they are capable. And I think that they'll only get better in the second half of the season as these new players like Watson, Motlop and
start
and
to
Rockcliffe.
Gel.
Yeah, start to gel. I think there's a lot of upside to Port Adelaide. And I think it was a hugely significant game on the weekend.
Even without Dusty, the Tigers were gallant, but you could just see they were just holding them, Port Adelaide. And as we said in the Footy Late Mail on Friday, they were very, very well backed. They got over the line and head-to-head, that's all you want.
Yeah, look, they were heavily backed, Port Adelaide, particularly on the fact that Dustin Martin didn't play. But as we said last week, no Martin, no Hawley and no Prestia. Mm. It was putting Richmond under more pressure than they've had for quite a while of having really important players out collectively. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think Richmond loses any sleep over
no,
it.
No.
But it could have an impact on their season because their next month is not easy. They've got some tough games. They've got Geelong, Sydney, Adelaide and the Giants just in the next five weeks. So it is a challenging little phase of the season for them, and they'd want Dustin Martin playing in those games.
Absolutely. You'd want your star out there ruling Brownlow medalist. Yesterday at the G, Collingwood, you've been talking to Taylor Adams in the inner sanctum on Brekkie Whitey, and he was saying that there's this belief now at Collingwood that they can actually be competitive on the ground and actually beat some good sides. And they did that yesterday. Cox was superb. Grundy was superb. It was a really solid team effort from my viewpoint.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they've now won four in a row. And I think that's, along with the Adelaide game, probably now their biggest scalp is Melbourne, who had won six in a row. Again, Collingwood, they're used to the big stage, but they've won Anzac Day, then they've won Queen's Birthday playing good football.
Mm.
I think the feature of Collingwood's win was their midfield and the amount of players that they can throw through that part of the ground. They completely dominated that area against Melbourne. And like you said, so many contributors, very unpredictable looking forward line. I still think also they've got improvement to come. I still think they can improve their skills a little bit. But to set up their season also, we're talking about Port Adelaide setting up their season. Collingwood has really set up their season now. 8-4, they've got the bye this week, then they come back and play Carlton and the Gold Coast in consecutive weeks.
So well, they should be
wins. Very easily be 10-4. And then even after that, it's Essendon, West Coast at home, and then North Melbourne. So
West Coast is the tough one.
It is, but really from this position now, they should be playing finals. And if they play at the level that they played at yesterday, they will play finals.
Mm.
I could not see that happening at the start of the year.
And full kudos to Buckley because he had a lot of heat on him last year, but he's turned it around and it just seems to be this belief in themselves now that they can actually do it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think to sort of extrapolate that further, I think that they now believe that the way that Buckley wants them to play does actually work.
Mm.
So it's one thing to believe in a system that you're told works, but it's another thing to believe in a system that you can actually see it work.
Mm.
And that's what's happening with Collingwood at the moment.
Mm. Geelong, solid win against the Roos. I know it was at home at Cadinia Park, but they were challenged. And they're just, look, Geelong are just like, that dependable car that you have, it just keeps on ticking over.
Yeah, they're an interesting one, Geelong, because they are fourth on the ladder, the Cats, 8-4.
And most people would say, well, that's a surprise.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't know about Geelong. My view on Geelong is they're a top four team when they're all out there playing, but they're not all out there playing at the moment. So I think they've done well to get to 8-4 with the amount of injuries that they've had to deal with. They've won four of their last five. They've improved their percentage now to 131. It was a professional performance against North Melbourne. It wasn't outstanding.
No.
But as you said, when they were challenged there at one point, they sort of hit the accelerator pedal and they've won by 6 goals. So you can't do too much more than that against a team like North Melbourne who have been solid all year. But I just look at Geelong and I see it two ways. Glass half full. They're 8-4 and they've got Guthrie, Scott Selwood, Harry Taylor, Daniel Menzel, Nakai Cockatoo and Lockie Henderson to all come back into their 22. Debatable about players like Gregson and McCarthy. But then looking at it the other way, you look at their next five, they've got Richmond, the bye, then they've got the Bulldogs, Sydney away, Adelaide away and Melbourne. And they don't play at GMHBA Stadium again until round 18, which is that game against Melbourne. So they've got a tough road ahead. We're going to find out whether Geelong's any good over this next 5 weeks. So a good win. It's a win they had to have against North Melbourne. But I thought about 6 or 7 weeks ago, they were the team most likely to challenge Richmond. I really believe that. But I still haven't quite seen it yet for me to be convinced that what I thought 6 weeks ago still stands true.
It's RSN 927's Footy Wrap.
After the round 12 long weekend of footy action with Whitey and JT looking at the winners, Sydney, a very professional outfit, and that was a clinical exhibition across the weekend against the Saints.
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, it was only St Kilda, but they needed to win and they needed to win well because their percentage is a bit down on some of the other teams that are around a similar sort of level of the ladder to them. So they improved it a little bit. I reckon John Lomai would have been a bit disappointed the way that they couldn't really kick clear and win by over 100 points, considering it was 9-1 at quarter time. But they're 9-3, they sit third, they've won their last five games, so they've done what they had to do through their easy part of the season. They've just chalked up the W's. But a little bit like Geelong, this is when it gets a bit tougher for Sydney now. They've got West Coast this Friday night at home, then the bye, then they've got Richmond at Etihad Stadium, Geelong at home, North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium before it gets a little easier with Gold Coast. So even if they were to go 3-2 through that phase, which I reckon is conservative but maybe realistic, it still puts them at 12-5, and you still think that Sydney is going to be finishing inside the top four. So I just like the way that they went about it. Their ability to play their best football away from the SCG is exceptional. And they have got Richmond and North Melbourne coming up at Etihad where they've won, it's 10 or 11 in a row. I think they played their best football at that venue. So, they'd like the draw there. They wouldn't have wanted to play Richmond at the MCG. So, yeah, like Geelong, bit of a wait and see because two teams you expect to be up near the top as they have been for the last 10 or so years. I still think the jury's out a little bit on them because the teams that are coming up like Collingwood, Port Adelaide and Melbourne, there's something about those three that I think would worry the older Geelong and Sydney, and maybe that's leg speed. I'm not sure, particularly with Collingwood and Port Adelaide. But just because they're professional and they keep just chalking up the wins, Sydney have really set their season up at 9-3 to be inside the top four, and I think they'll probably stay there.
And the final winner of the split round that you want to take a look at is Fremantle. It was a seesawing game over in the West, but they just had their nose in front at the right time.
Well, I just wanted to mention
Without
Fremantle.
Without five.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't...
And Sandy Lance with concussion.
Absolutely. And look, I don't think that Fremantle will be playing finals.
But they're a nuisance?
We got a snapshot to their future because they won that game because of their youngsters, not because of their senior players, as you mentioned, that were out of the side. You know, throw Michael Johnson into the mix as well. That Ross Lyon's really made a stand now that we're going with the youth, and it's not something that Ross Lyon does usually. He usually likes to stay with the tried and true. But that collective group of about 8 or 9 youngsters at Fremantle, that is their next generation, and I think they would have got so much confidence out of the way that they played that game, not just starting the game well, but when Adelaide came at them, challenged them, got ahead of them, Fremantle were able to settle, they didn't panic, and they went again and held on in a tight finish. So, you know, Chera, Brayshaw, Langdon, Blakely, Some of the young talls, Ryan. I mean, you could name Tucker. You could name a few more. I just think that they have drafted really well over the last two or three years, and now Ross Lyon is giving them opportunity. I think they're going to jump up the ladder quite quickly.
Over
the next couple of years.
A very, very gritty win. Now, the loser of the round, Adelaide. I thought they should have won that game. If they want to really go deep into the finals, I thought they should have won that game in the West, but they couldn't do it. They've got some injuries. Obviously, Walker's still underdone. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think it's getting too difficult for Adelaide now. I mean, 6-6, they're in 10th position. They've lost four of their last five games. Their percentage has dropped to 106. And then when you look ahead, they've got Hawthorn at the MCG this Saturday night, then the bye, then they've got West Coast, and then they've got Richmond. So it's a difficult run for them. I mean, at best, you see them splitting their next four. I just think they're going to get too far behind. And I just think at the end of the day, they're just missing too many important players. Mm-hmm. You know, injuries have taken a toll on their season. They've lost their confidence, their momentum, their continuity, all those sort of keywords you sort of associate to a team that just keeps getting injuries to important players. And as a result, they're just back in the pack. And yeah, I think if you had to sort of cut one loose from that 11 or so teams that are in the mix to play finals, I think Adelaide is the most likely to not make it. You look at the top eight at the moment, they're $2.25 to make the eight. I think they're more a $4 chance to make the eight. Mm. A huge game against Hawthorn. It's almost like an elimination final this week in a lot of ways. But because the Giants have found their mojo again, and I think will start to really lift in the next sort of, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, a team like Adelaide will be nervous because as it stands, the Giants are not in the eight. I think they'll push into the eight and it just makes it even harder for a team like the Crows.
Yeah, that was an absolutely a demolition job against the Gold Coast. And when you've got a forward like Cameron bagging six, he's in form now. So that's worrying signs for the Crows.
Yeah, and the Giants have still got some important players to come back into that team as well, particularly, you know, some of their running power that's been missing. I think that loss to the Giants a couple of weeks ago from the Crows will prove to be a really costly loss in the context of the season.
Before we wrap up the footy wrap for round 12, I'll ask you a personal question from a D's fan perspective, which I am. I was nervous about the game against Collingwood. Collingwood do play well against Melbourne on the big stage. They just looked flat-footed yesterday. They tried to get back into the game, but every time they got close to Collingwood, they were able to consolidate the Pies and find a way through the midfield and find a goal.
Yeah, look, I thought Collingwood played extremely well. And I'd prefer to focus on the positive rather than the negative. I think with Melbourne, they've won six in a row. It was clearly their flat one. They've been up a long time. And I'm not using that as an excuse, but I think at the end of the day, and it's easier in hindsight, Melbourne did have a soft preparation. You know, and what I mean by that is they've come up against some pretty easy teams over that 6 weeks and have been able to have it on their terms really quite easily. Collingwood hit them hard in that first 15, 20 minutes, got them off on the back foot, and they never really rebalanced. They tried to stay in the contest, but giving up a 5-goal head start was always going to be too much.
And I think accuracy actually kept them in the game because it was 9-9-7-2 at half time. If it would have been 9-9-5-4, it's game over.
Yeah, I think the clearances were a big issue in the game. Often you are made to look slow when you're getting hammered in clearances, which is what Melbourne was doing. And Collingwood's
a lot of
midfield,
handball by the D's.
Yeah, because they're under pressure.
Under pressure.
So I think Collingwood just got them in the midfield, and that proved to be a big difference in the game. I'm not losing sleep over it. If you back Melbourne to make the eight, or you think they're a chance to win the premiership, it's probably a year too soon to be saying premiership, but I still think they've got a really exciting list, a young list that they can improve on, and that they're fine as far as I'm concerned. No worries. But it was just a bit of a setback that there's this feeling with Melbourne that they are a team that can't perform on the big stage. We think of, you know, the Anzac Eve game, you think of the one on the weekend. They haven't been exposed to a lot of big games, but when they've had them, they haven't been able to perform. That's their challenge. They've got over that Etihad issue. They've got over that, you know, losing against teams they should beat. They've still got to be able to do it against the good teams on the big stage. That's their challenge.
Latest AFL Premiership betting odds with tab.com.au. Tigers at 4, West Coast 6, Melbourne 7, 7 Sydney, Cats 8, Pies into 9.
So I think looking at it from a value point of view, I think West Coast should be flag favourites. I think we mentioned Richmond's next month. It's not easy. They could be outside the top four at the end of the month. So I think we've just got to, I think Richmond at the MCG is the team to beat, but they've still got to be able to find a way to position themselves that they've got a final series where they're playing it at the MCG. So I'm not giving up on the Tigers, but I don't think they should be premiership favourites. I think it should be West Coast. I still think Sydney and Geelong at $7 and $8 represent a little bit of value, but as I mentioned earlier, there's still a bit of an unknown about them, but I trust them because of what they've done in the past. And to me, Port Adelaide and the Giants are the two teams that represent the most value, particularly Port Adelaide at $13. And I'm serious, don't give up on the Giants at 26. They're 275 to make the eight.
Would you take that?
Sorry, they were 275 last week when we suggested the play there. They're now into even money.
Mm.
I would still be taking them at even money.
Mm. Well, I'd rather back the Giants to make the eight than the Crows.
Well, look, if you, it's a good way of looking at it. If you cluster North Melbourne, the Giants, Hawthorn, and Adelaide together, in my view, only two of those four can make it. Maybe only one of those four. I'd prefer to be on the Giants than the other three.
Mm. Well, play to Waddy. We'll talk on Friday and look forward to a split round 13 of AFL.
Thanks, John.
You can hear the Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.